I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the transfer window starts to creak closed. Alex Valle is a Celtic player as the left-back arrives from Barcelona, who will be next. Todd Cantwell is linked with a move to Blackburn as Rangers wait on Scott Wright to Birmingham. And Hearts could be without Lawrence Shankland, of all people, for tomorrow's qualifier against Pilsen as Killy get ready for Copenhagen. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. You're giggling like two school children already. Bad, bad start.
He's trying to encourage me to go. We've not got pens, Gordon. Good. He's trying to encourage me to go over there. He thinks I'm daft.
3 minutes past six.
I don't even have time.
A nice professional start. Good. How are you both looking forward to it? Should be, in theory, a blockbuster couple of days for a few reasons.
Yeah, I think it will be. Like you said, with the transfer window closing on Friday, Champions League draw, etc. Kilmarnock also, obviously, you know, playing tomorrow. Kilmarnock and Hearts trying to get through their games, and then the massive, massive game on Sunday. So, yeah, listen, I expect both teams to bring in a couple of players. But yeah, it'll be interesting for fans, as I said, 11:30 on Friday night when the transfer window closes.
Yeah, I think watching Hearts and Kilmarnock last week, I think both teams will feel a little bit unlucky. You know, late goals in both games. Injury time with Hearts, I believe, in the corner with Kelly makes it just that little bit more difficult. But hopefully they can go and give a good account of themselves tomorrow and get in the draw. Champions League draw tomorrow as well. Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Tomorrow.
Yes. And yeah, the deadline is Friday as well. And that's all before the small fixture on Sunday lunchtime.
Exactly. 0141 951 1025. What's the main thing that's on your mind tonight then? Are you already looking to Sunday like many people do? Or is there just too much that can happen before then, before you can fully shift your focus? Transfer window, Celtic fans, I know you've been sort of waiting and wondering, well, there is confirmed business done today. Alex Valle, left back, on loan from Barcelona. What do you make of that? I know the way these things work. You've been in YouTube, you've been scouring the internet, Wikipedia, wherever you get your information, to find out a bit about this guy, maybe see him in action. So what do you make of the signing? How pleased are you? How do you think he fits in? I mean, Barcelona, is this a guy that Celtic will look to come in and take over from Greg Taylor soon? Or is this a guy that waits behind Greg Taylor in the pecking order? Is it just about competition for places? How do you think he'll fit in, and what do you make of the signing? What's next? Ingles, I think last I checked, we're now in the region of £10 million perhaps. That would be a Celtic record transfer fee paid. Is that pleasing? The club's showing that ambition and determination to try and get players, or are you worried perhaps that fees are getting overinflated? You could tell us on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, it's a bit of a waiting game. Ben Davies gone, as we said last night. It looks like Scott Wright's going to follow to Birmingham. No confirmation yet. And maybe the big one, Todd Cantwell, Blackburn. It's been a complex relationship between player and club, shall we say. How pleasing would it be though to just move that on and try and get something done? Give us your thoughts there. Same number, 0141 951 1025. If you have any lingering thoughts from the Scotland squad yesterday or Steve Clark's comments, please do. And really, the floor is yours, Hearts fans. Bad start to the season, trailing in a European qualifier and having to go into it without Lawrence Shankland potentially. How do you feel about that? Kelly fans, can you do it? Can you pull off what would be one of the Scottish football results in Europe in recent years? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. What a week.
Yeah, a massive, massive week for a lot of the things you've just mentioned there, Gordon. You know, I always say it, when our clubs are playing in Europe, regardless of who it is, even being Hearts and their Hibs' biggest rivals, I want them all to go through. You know, we always talk about our game and wanting to improve it, and it's absolutely massive. Huge, huge task for Kilmarnock. I feel for Derek McInnes. You know, he has no luck at the moment, whether it's for sending offs or wrong decisions, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they are capable. They are capable tomorrow of winning that game of football. And really, I'm massively looking forward to Sunday's game as a neutral. You know, for me, it's a fantastic derby. The only thing is, obviously, with no away fans, I think we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, but we've had that conversation many a time. But as I said, as a neutral, you know, guy watching a game of football, it is a massive, massive game.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe myself as a neutral in that one. But
no,
yeah, looking forward to it. As I said, I reciprocate really what Marv is saying about the European adventures as well. I really feel with Kilmarnock, with the last 15 minutes, I think the penalty as well, just everything kind of worked against them towards the end of what would have been a sensational result against a team who were in the Champions League not so long ago. So it's a difficult one, but they're still there. They've still got a chance, as have Hearts. And it'd be nice to see both teams in the group stages.
And transfer window, Marvin, we don't mind aimless speculation. But it's nice to have some confirmed business. Celtic have done something. I think we knew there would definitely be an expectation that this was a busy week. Whether it turns out to be that way, we'll wait and see. But after Matt O'Reilly, everyone was looking at what would be done. And Alex Valle is the first to arrive.
Yeah, and like you said, putting, you know, competition for places in that squad. I think Greg Taylor, without being disrespectful, probably hasn't had that for a little while. You know, when you've got a player coming in from Barcelona, you know, they're always going to be technically good. Again, the Scottish game is different, but Brendan and the scouting team have obviously seen something in him to bring him into the club. So, yeah, listen, it's the first one, but Celtic fans will want more. Fans always want more. It looks like they'll probably add another one or two, but again, they're looking for quality. You know, looking to go out and spend £10 million on a centre midfielder. It shows that they mean business and they've got the money to do so.
A number 11 at left back, honestly. The game's just unrecognisable.
It's just unrecognisable. Changed days. But listen, I've seen little clips of the lad. I don't know much about him. He's coming from a good education at Barcelona. You would like to think technically very good. The little clips I've seen, I think he played against Real Madrid pre-season. There was little bits there that you see, but I'm experienced enough in my coaching time that videos like that don't always paint the picture, but I think Celtic have did their homework. Mm-hmm. And I think there's that area. I mean, Greg Taylor's done very well at left back, but I think the consensus is, you know, there's no backup there, there's no contest, so it's a good acquisition. I think they'll be looking to similar in the left back left centre back area, and obviously the midfielders that you've speculated about there, 10 million.
You can do anything on a YouTube reel. Did you know that he put his reel from the Masters together and
I'd love to see
and sent it to the UFC to try and get a contract. Absolutely shameless. Anyway, 01419511025. Let's get stuck in with Justin, who's a Rangers fan. What's going on, Justin?
Hi guys, how you doing? I'm maybe jumping the gun a wee bit early, but I thought I'd get in early before the Ferrari starts with the old fun game Sunday. So
it's never too early. Take it away.
I was just to see what the panel thought. Having watched Rangers for the start of the season, and especially the game against Ross County, the player that stood out for me above everything else is Conor Barn. And I don't think he was necessarily a stick-on to be a first choice, maybe at the start of the season. I don't know if that was Clement's idea, but certainly I think there is the first name in the team sheet for a lot of Rangers fans. And I think from Sunday's point of view, I think we might have for the first time in a number of years a foil for McGregor when it comes to Celtic in relation to energy, in relation to getting about the park, and somebody that will get about Callum McGregor and make it difficult for him to make the passes that he does and kind of dictate the play the way he has in the last maybe few old fun games. And it's something I'm genuinely kind of excited for, to see. I was just to see what the panel thought. I know there's a wee bit of bias in the panel, but I want to hold that against them. But
who are you talking about? Big Marv.
Justin, so I feel like, from sitting in this seat, we've had that over the last few years. A lot of people who Rangers fans thought and hoped would be the one to stop Callum McGregor, and it never really seems to happen. Why do you think Conor Barron's that player?
It's, you know, I agree with you. You look at Raskin and stuff like that, has been, you know, touted as that kind of aggressive, you know, direct, combative kind of player. But I've been honestly hugely impressed with Barnes since he starts. He always looks for the ball. He's got loads of energy. He just seems dynamic in what he's doing. And for his age and for maybe the stature of potentially the players running about him, he's dictating play. He's, I know this is a bold statement, but he genuinely reminds me of Barry Ferguson. In the early days of Barry Ferguson, really, you know, kind of playing above his stature, does that make, if that makes sense, playing above what he believes his own level is or the players are a bit level is. And I just think with that kind of attitude and the way he's got himself about the park and constantly look to be open and create something and look for a pass and harrying players, I just think that's stood out above for the last couple of years about how somebody's carried themselves. And I just think that'll be a big battle on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, Conor Barron, obviously, listen, he came through at Aberdeen, he went on loan, I think it was to Kelty Hearts, broke into the Aberdeen team.
And Breakin, Mark will be very
upset. Oh, did he go Breakin as well?
He was a Breakin Mills, yeah.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Simon is the assistant manager for 2 weeks.
Apparently he didn't enjoy that,
Very briefly.
And now, like, you know, as Justin's saying there, I've seen him play a couple of times for Rangers this season, and all the things that Justin said and all the, you know, words he's used to label him, I totally agree with. But for me, Callum McGregor, you know, I said it so many times, you know, the man's basically a magician in the centre of the park. And listen, he came up against players like Conor Barron and players with, you know, bigger reputations. And he just goes through games. You know, it's so difficult to get close to him. And people always talk about, you know, if you've got someone against him, he's more mobile. But it's upstairs. You know, the first 2 or 3 yards on the football pitch, anyone will tell you, is upstairs. And he's got that in abundance. He really, really has. Listen, I think Barron can impact the game. I'm not sure how close to McGregor he will be. Depending on how Rangers play. But in terms of Conor Barron, I think he's done extremely well. And I was actually surprised he wasn't named in the Scotland squad because I think he has done that well. And he does offer something different.
In the under-21s, incidentally, yeah. Today I noticed, like I said to Justin, Simon, he may well do. I'm not trying to predict the outcome. It doesn't matter to me. But it's probably that sort of stuff's kind of music to Celtic fans of yours, I would imagine. In the sense that they'll feel like they've heard this before,
yeah.
And thinking you can stop him or thinking you can stop that midfield is one thing, and actually doing it's another.
Absolutely. What I agree with Justin. I think the young lad's, you know, started his career at Rangers very well. He's been in there, and it doesn't look as if he's been affected by the size of the club or anything like that.
He almost looks like one of the kind of leaders already, doesn't he?
Compared to those around him, he's very willing to go and get on the ball. Plays what I've seen for the game at the weekend quite in a deeper role. Yeah. I'm saying with Marv there, he might not be up against Callum McGregor.
Yeah, so he's not going to be the one to.
Depending
on
how the team's set up. Yeah, depending on how the team's set up, he might not be up against them. But I think he's done well at the start of his career. And listen, I know Marv was joking there briefly when he came to Breakin. For me, what I remember about the lad in the brief time that he was very willing to go and look for the ball. He wanted to go and get on the ball and make things happen. He never had. He's went on to develop at Aberdeen, get into the first team at Aberdeen, and that's been a success for him to get his move to Rangers. And I don't think, and it just reflects on his performances that Justin's maybe saying that he's been Rangers' best player since the start of the season. I think he's got a good career ahead of him. I think he will be, and I think Philip Clement will say, focus on your job without focusing on stopping Callum McGregor as such directly, because I think they'll be playing in different areas of the pitch.
But overall then, Justin, aside from you know, McGregor or Conor Barron, you're feeling pretty confident despite, you know, Celtic's good start to the season. Rangers are certainly ticking a bit more now. You know, a couple of weeks ago as an example, I think a lot of people would have had Rangers written off. You don't think that's the case?
Unfortunately, the way the games have panned out over the last couple of years, as much as Rangers fans won't want to admit it, we've been close but no cigar. A lot of the time, you know, huffed and puffed a lot of the times, but not really delivered it. And at the start of the season, we've not clicked really at all. It's looked scrappy, it's looked disjointed. But the game in the Ross County game the other day, it's the first time in the season I've seen a bit of confidence in players like Barron, like Dessers, like, you know, Jeffrey and stuff like that, and even Matondo. It was smoother, the play was more fluent, they looked to be gelling and linking up better, and they were seeming to be playing with a smile on their face, not when it was 5-6, but when it was still 1-0, they were They were going for more. They weren't sitting back. That's the most pleasing bit. And I think if we're starting to click, there isn't a really better time to do it than, you know, before an Old Firm game. And I think if Rangers take something out of the game, I think it'll give them the impetus to kick on.
Justin, quite often, sorry, just quickly, because I know we're getting close to the travel. I wonder how you, quite often in this one, because it's the first one that comes when the transfer window closes, you're looking to see if anyone is signed, you know, late in the window and then goes in and makes a debut. Are we at the stage in the week that, is there any possibility of that for Rangers? You still think that's possible? What are you looking for transfer-wise in the next couple of days?
I think we still need to bring a couple of people in. The people that are talking about leaving, I mean, it was a major frustration for a lot of Rangers fans that, you know, Scott Wright, who we've been trying to move out the door for the last 18 months, pretty much is our first choice right winger as a start of the season. I think that kind of freaked a lot of Rangers fans out to start with, but I don't see the people that's good at the door as problematic, and hopefully that gives us the money and prepared to be able to bring somebody in before the end of the season. Whether they start on Sunday or not, I don't know. But I would hope to bring in a couple, especially if they are getting out the door.
Amongst the many reasons, Marvin, the many, many reasons that I couldn't work in player recruitment, I'm impatient. See the thought of it getting to Wednesday, and if you're Nils Koppen or Philippe Clement or John Bennett or whoever, and just having to sort of sit and wait and make sure that Todd Cantwell does go to Blackburn and Scott Wright does go to Birmingham, and then you can kick into action, or you get your, you know, you get some sort of contingency in place anyway. That sounds like precarious business. Will Rangers add anyone before the weekend? Will we see anyone?
Yeah, I think as long as they get the players out. And, you know, the difficult thing is, Gordon, when you're one of those players who a club want you out, but you know, unless I go out, you can't bring somebody else in. You're in such a strong position. Because the way that transfers work, and Simon would have been, you know, involved in a few transfers himself. If you're, I don't know, signing on fees, for example, if I don't request to leave a football club, then I'm still owed a certain amount of money. And yes, it can be negotiated, but it puts you in such a strong position to say, well, hang on, I'm going to Cantwell, for example, I'm going to Blackburn, but I'm taking a wage cut. You have to make up the rest of my money for the rest of my contract. Now, you know, if you actually actively want to go, then obviously it's different. But if a club are trying to push you out, then, as I said, they're in such a strong position knowing that, listen, if I'll just sit here then, because the club can't bring anybody else in. So, yeah, it's tough. And you start to lose your targets as well, because, you know, not everyone's going to wait on Rangers getting rid of their players, which makes it, you know, even more difficult. But I do expect them to bring in at least two more players before the window slams shut.
OK, thank you to Justin. Conor Barron could be the man to stop Callum McGregor, he says. What do you think? 01419511025. Celtic fans, we have confirmed transfer business done. Alex Valle is your new left back. He will compete with Greg Taylor. Will he overtake Greg Taylor, do you think? Is he signed to be first choice? Will he have to wait? How do you feel about it? What do you think about the signing, and what's next? We'll try and speak to you after these.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. Do you know, almost went to emergency lengths to rearrange the diary and get you in last night, Simon Donnelly, because of everybody on this on this planet, everyone who's trying to claim excitement for it, I think you're the biggest Oasis fan I know, genuinely.
I'm up there.
I just thought, if there's one guy that will be on the ceiling today, it is this man.
Do you know something? I get tipped off last week.
Of course you did. You're like the third Gallagher brother.
But I was still a bit of doubting Thomas, and then there was the messages that came out on Sunday night late on that really got my interest and excitement up. So yes,
he's really excited.
No, this day is like
this was a movement back in the day, mate.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, yes.
Oh, mate, that's when he's been serious.
Yes,
people honestly, genuinely, some people. I remember someone said to me today, "Oh, Sid will be excited."
Who said that?
I actually can't remember who somebody it was.
Somebody actually texted me. Wee Brian McLaughlin, my old teammate, texted me because he was back in the day. He was big U2. and I was Oasis. So he texted me last night saying,
"Do you know what's bad about that? I was with Brian 2 weeks ago, and he said, tell Sid I'm asking from, and I never
did. Forgot.
Sorry, Brian. But anyway, so are you going to be, so you'll be right on tickets?
Yes, and... yes, I'll be trying my best, and I'll be using any sort of network that I can if I struggle to get them on Friday or Saturday.
Honestly, yes. I knew you'd be buzzing with excitement.
He's just not having it here, does he?
No, I'm excited for you. I can feel your excitement, which is delightful. Yeah, you know.
It was a mixed in the studio last night.
What were they?
Mark Wilson had an Oasis t-shirt on and Adidas tracksuit from the 90s to mark the occasion, genuinely.
Okay.
And Gordon DL tried to draw on the t-shirt during the show because he couldn't care less. So anyway, I thought about you yesterday. Let's bring in John Paul, who's on the line as a Celtic fan. John Paul, Alex Valle is done. What do you think about the transfers going on then?
Evening, Gordon, Marvin, Simon. Just a wee shout out to Simon, mate. Obviously, your own wee brother, Gary. Said I could give you a wee shout out. I'm glad that Gordon never got you on last night. Saving in Doha. I felt I was going to phone up the show tonight.
Gary Gregg.
Gary's my wee brother, mate.
All right.
So he said to me, I said to him last night, I said, I'm going to phone in Clyde Wundermore. I said, Simon's on his off. Tell me.
I'll see him next month.
He told me you're going over, so I'll take a wee shout out for him. But, I just want to talk about, you know, Celtic transfer window, you know, and it's all right saying I'm relaxed about it, you know, I have been for, I kind of got to used to it, you know, but, you know, I've went to phone in all week, and I look back to last week, you know, and Brendan Rodgers was so clever in the way he done it, you know, and I'll take you back to after we played Chelsea. Brendan Rodgers came out and said, we've got 4 signings, we're looking to get them in this week. We're now 3 games into the season, and we're getting signings in the door, probably good signings, you know, but Celtic knew Matt O'Reilly was going to leave. We knew the bids were going to come in. You know, and Rodgers, give Rodgers his due. He came in last year, he came into their duty to come in and win the league. He won the double. He's got the team that we've played, we've scored 11 goals, conceded one, we're in the next round of the cup, and he's came out and told the board last week he would have liked it done faster. You know, Rodgers wanted these players in before now. So coming into this game, he's got us in the best possible position. He's got the team playing the best possible way. He's got the team flowing, you know, the team all buying together, the goals are coming, the back four's kind of settled, you know, we're not conceding many goals, and they said they're good mentally. No, he's filling his duty. Now, the board, that's why he came back, because the board had a duty to fill, to take the team forward. You know, we've got a left-back in, we know we've needed a left-back for a while now, you know, we need another centre-half, the boy Engels looks like he's going to be coming in the door. These are happening, you know, but I just fear that, you know, that after this window, Brendan Rodgers is going to go and say to the board, listen, that needs to be better. I need my players in early because I want to know, he wants to know who he can throw in at the weekend. You know, this is a distraction, players coming in the next, on deadline day or whatever, 2 days to go to the old firm. You know, he's bound to be looking at that and saying the size of the club and where I've got the club coming back in, well, how good a pre-season we've had. This has got to be better. You know, and I fear for that. You know, I don't think he'll walk. I think he'll stay his time. But he's not here to be messed about. You know, he's a class manager. He's a top class manager, and he's got the players and the team in fantastic form after Ange. I don't know what you think of that,
Marvin. What do you think? I'm interested because, like, there's the emotional side that Celtic fans will have. So, from your slightly kind of neutral perspective, what do you make of it?
Listen, I see it from both sides. In terms of, you know, replacing O'Reilly, you can't replace him until he's gone. And, you know, he didn't sign, was it Monday, he ended up going through in terms of the Brighton transfer. What Celtic did want to happen, John Paul, and I get what you're saying, everyone knew that Matt O'Reilly was going to go. If I'm honest, I thought he would have gone a lot earlier in the transfer window. I didn't think it would take this long. But what Celtic didn't want to happen is to bring in a player, say for £10-11 million, a centre midfielder, then all of a sudden Matt O'Reilly doesn't go. Because, you know, if teams then again know that Celtic are relying on selling Matt O'Reilly because they've already got someone else in the building, it weakens their, you know, their powers of negotiations. You know, Celtic will go into these negotiations saying, well, listen, we'll keep him. If you don't want to pay what we expect for him, we'll keep him. And to be fair to the Celtic board, they've got more money than me personally, I thought they were going to get. So in terms of selling
them... you just said the Celtic board have got more money than me personally.
No. They got more money for Matt O'Reilly than I personally thought they were going to get. So in terms of doing that, they've done extremely well. And now they're going to go and replace him. Will they pay a little bit more? Because, you know, teams know they've got 20-odd million for Matt O'Reilly, potentially. But you don't want to get stuck, John Paul, with, you know, Matt O'Reilly and another £10 or £11 million midfielder, you know, with 2 days to go before the window closes.
Brendan Rodgers was asked that, John Paul, on Friday. You know, is there a danger that clubs can inflate fees because they know Celtic have it to spend? And he acknowledged it, but he wasn't willing to almost use that as an excuse. He said, you know, well, you can still do it, basically, that there's a way around it. Simon, what do you make of the business so far, I think on a, is it fair to say on a purely like numbers kind of basis, left back was the priority? I don't know if it was priority.
I think it was one of the positions that they would definitely mm-hmm. be looking at as
but
a. As
I,
a
what I mean is, it's the only one that literally has no, literally had no backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but I think they would have been looking at left centre back as well, and it's no reflection on skills because he's been excellent. He really has, but it's competition. And as Marv says there, the O'Reilly thing, I think we all knew, I think I said a couple of weeks in the show, yeah, he's going to go. But in football, I mean, I think they were rejecting bids from Atalanta, left, right and centre. Sometimes it doesn't pan out. As you say, you could end up going out spending money on somebody and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Matt O'Reilly is still a Celtic player after the window shuts. I think now, with 2 or 3 days left, the guy Ingles looks as if he could be a potential one coming in. A numbers game. I ironically, I think Celtic, at the start of this season, look a wee bit more fluid in their play. Mm-hmm. Whether it's with the group that have been there and working together, I don't know. But I accept, and I think the Celtic fans out there as well, want to strengthen for Europe. They want to go and have a go in Europe. And I think from that point of view, they've showed domestically, I think they're still stronger than everybody else by a stretch. But they want to strengthen mm-hmm. for the 8 games that they're going to be coming up in the Champions League. That's where they want to go and add to that squad. Hopefully these guys get over the line. The left back got over the line this afternoon. Hopefully they can maybe get another 2 in. I think Brendan said if Matt O'Reilly left, he wanted another 2 in.
Yeah, exactly. John Paul, where do you see the? What do you think about how the left back picture looks? If you know, if you're, there's a theory, obviously you come from Barcelona to sit on Celtic's bench, would you do that? But then again, Greg Taylor's not doing a lot wrong just now. What do you think?
No, by the way, I'm a fan of Greg Taylor. You know, a lot of Celtic fans on there, you know, he's come in and I think he's better when he comes in and plays inside. You know, I think there's weaknesses defensively, definitely. You know, they can be perfect, but you know, the boy for Barcelona, you know, he's been out on loan a couple of times. He's played a lot of football. You know, Barcelona always rate him. You know, I think he's a player. I think he'll get his chance. I do think he'll get his chance. But as I say, Greg Taylor's not put a foot wrong this season. You know, he's playing well. He's come in and done a job, you know. But just, again, looking at it as well, it's, you know, he's in with no option to buy. And then next summer, we're going to be in this position again. But, you know, we can't look at that now. We need to look at this season going forward. And I agree with Simon 100%. Celtic, domestically, will wipe the floor all season. I think we'll win the treble. I think we'll win on Saturday. You know, I think the players that we can bring off the bench, your Palmers, if it's Bernardo, obviously, you know, he'll be a starter now. You know, people that are on the bench coming off, Ida, either Kyogo, you know, we've got good strength and depth, you know, but Brendan Rodgers definitely does need a handout for the Champions League, you know, and these boys will make a difference. But the left back, I think, coming to now, I think he'll get plenty of chances because he looks a player and he looks big, physical and strong, you know, and you need to be that in this league as well.
Very much Greg Taylor's jersey to lose. Still, regardless.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's his jersey to lose, regardless of who Celtic sign. I think, you know, John Paul said it there. I think we saw Greg Taylor struggle a little bit when he was playing as an out-and-out left-back when Brendan first came back. You know, now he's playing inverted and he comes inside. He looks so much more comfortable. And, you know, he's been brilliant for Celtic since doing that. So, yeah, definitely his jersey to lose.
Anyway, in that theory, like I said, it's a very sort of general, simple one. And guys like Diego Laxalt came from big clubs. I know it's not always that simple, but anything in that, you know, are Barcelona sending someone to Scotland to sit on the bench?
Yeah, listen, sometimes you send players out on loan to realise how football works. You know, when he goes back to Barcelona, he's going to have competition there as well. So he needs to come. They probably said to him, listen, if you go there and do well in training and when you get your minutes, then you'll play. There's been no guarantee for you to play.
The fact that they want to keep him as well, Barcelona, I know there's a selling fee there, but the fact that they don't want to give that boy up. Yeah. They obviously see something in him to go out there and you know, the lad will come here and he'll try and displace Greg Taylor. That's what you want your team. You want
is
players.
That difficult in the loan market? I'm thinking like when you were at Livy as an example, so I know it's not the same, but if you think of these as scaled down versions, I think you had guys on loan from like Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Is that right? Clubs like that, and they're kind of an assumption, I would imagine, from Aston Villa, if you go to Livy, you're going to play. And so I wonder, is that where the loan market's difficult?
Yeah, because sometimes they'll put stuff into it. So, you know, for example, if we loaned you Gordon, and if Gordon starts and you pay 50% of his wages, if he doesn't start, then you pay 100%. So normally it's like, you know, it's monetized like that. But they'll say to you, where do you see the player playing? But ultimately, you have to pick the team that's best for you. You know, you can't be governed by the bigger club, so to speak.
Okay, thank you very much to John Paul. What about David on the other line? David, what are you thinking tonight?
How you all doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
On the matter of, first of all, Marvin Bartley and Oasis. Come on, Marvin.
I know, David. You're right. You're absolutely right.
No, listen, David, I know that
he's from the south of England,
but,
David.
But they're
no
a great band, I know that, but I'm just not really a concert man, if I'm honest. So that's why I didn't get excited. Listen, I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch them, and I'm buzzing that, you know, Double D next to me is delighted to go and see them as well. So
I think you just good. Like sitting, doing not very much.
Yeah,
you just strike me as that.
Yeah, that's what
I'm like, just honestly, everything that's you notice.
Put my slippers
like
on.
Bands, doesn't like golf. It's
anyway, let's
turn
this into the chart show. Let's talk
sorry,
about
mate.
Exactly, David.
I mean, you want to say, David, come on.
Regarding the transfer window, I'm a Celtic supporter, and I'll be honest, I think my thoughts are the transfer window's been very, very good so far. Let me explain why. Guys like, you know, Kobayashi, Lagerby, Elka, Haksabanovic, these are all guys that were taking a reasonable wage out of Celtic. And I'll be honest, they weren't really in the plans, not just under Brendan Rodgers, but not really under Ange either. So I think for Celtic to not only get rid of these guys and free up a wage, but looking at it, we actually get half decent money for some of the guys as well. So I think getting rid of the dead wood, freeing up wages, making the squad more competitive was a really good thing. And bringing in, you'd rather bring in three or four quality players to fill in, you know, for spaces that are there, than just bring in guys to sit and take a wage. Now, over the years, people have looked at big squads. Celtic don't have a big squad. If you look at it, we've got one left-back in Greg Taylor, now two. Up to a few weeks ago, we had one striker in Kyogo. So I think bringing in four or five top-quality players in good positions to improve the squad is what we're looking for. We've got the best squad in Scotland by a mile, and I'm confident we will win the treble this year, but I'm really, really happy with the transfer window so far, and I think it'll end very, very well.
I have no problem with anyone being positive, David. I think it's a healthy outlook. I just wonder, listening to Brendan Rodgers at the weekend, Friday and then Sunday, Friday the window closes, then we'll know. But to sit here on Wednesday night and say it's been a very, very good window for Celtic, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not sure Brendan Rodgers agrees with that as we sit here on Wednesday night. So how does that work?
Well, listen, I understand what you're saying. I mean, obviously, there's two ways to look at it. Our job is domestically to win every trophy there, and the squad at the moment is good enough to do that. Now, we're all assuming that Celtic aren't going to make any more signings. Which,
no, that's what I'm saying. That's fine Friday night, but you said, you know, right now you think up until this point it's been a very, very good window, and I just wonder, that must be a stretch. It must be.
I think it's very, very positive in terms of the wages we've freed up,
yeah,
in terms of the money we've brought in for Deadwood. That's things a lot of clubs struggle with. Listen, let's look across the city. There's a club across the city, they're struggling to get rid of Deadwood. We've managed to get rid of Deadwood and bring in money.
I know, but should Celtic not be setting their own standards? You know, is it not about Celtic's dominance is so big and so good in Scotland that they need to be the best version of themselves rather than just trying to be better than what Rangers do?
Well, we are the best version of ourselves. That's why we've won 14 out of the last 15 league titles.
But I don't think... But see, when Brendan Rodgers sits on Friday and says that after this window they really need to get the kind of scouting system sorted or whatever it was, that doesn't sound like he thinks Celtic are the best version of themselves at the moment. You've seen, I mean, all this is like some sort of dig, and Celtic are brilliant and I know they win everything.
Yeah.
But I just... Do you know what I mean, Marvin? Maybe I'm just being pernickety and picking David up in the language. I'm not even saying it's been a bad window, and I don't know where it'll end, but I think to sit on Wednesday night and call it very, very good, I think Brendan Rodgers would disagree.
Yeah, I think he would disagree as well. One point, I do agree with what David is saying. In terms of the players that they've managed to get rid of and the upgrades in terms of O to Ida,
sure,
is massive. And that,
but Ida was there last season with O, remember?
Yeah. But on permanence. But no, I don't think Brendan Rodgers will be sitting at home now saying that this has been a fantastic window. Be happy that, you know, he's got rid of players that he didn't think had the right qualities to play for Celtic, but he definitely wants more quality brought in. And, you know, as John Paul was saying earlier, maybe he wanted it done earlier, but they've had to wait for the Matt O'Riley transfer saga to kind of come to an end. But they will bring in, I think, a minimum of two players. Brendan will probably want more, but will he get them? I'm unsure.
Yeah, listen, I'm listening to David there talking about it. I think the likes of Brendan Rodgers has said at the moment they're playing week to week. It's suiting them just now. They're looking sharp. They've come back. Callum McGregor's went on record saying there's a sharpness about their play, and you can see that, it's evident. But after the games are going to come thick and fast. Mm-hmm. So you get one or two injuries. David himself has said there that the squad, he reckons, isn't as big after getting these guys out the door. So, yeah, I always go back to it, though. It has to be quality coming in. It has to be, if it's going to be two players coming in, they have to be guys that are threatening that starting 11. It can't be, you know, they've talked about project players mm-hmm. before. It has to be. And this lad that we're looking at the screen, Engels, they're talking about reputedly 10 million for. So he's coming looking to get straight into the team. That's what Celtic need just now. And I think that's where Brendan's talking about his squad. Yes, they've had, dare I say, that luxury at the start of this season, preparing from Saturday to Saturday or Sunday or whatever. There's been no midweek game. That's going to change pretty soon. And that's where they'll need the strength and depth.
Thank you to David. Let me tell you about this before we go on. Right, I don't know if this makes a dent in the transfer market, but to everyone else who lives on a normal life, £300,000 is going to change your life and then some. That is the amount to be won on the cash register. It is the biggest ever prize in this competition, and you're running out of time. If you're not involved in the draw, remember, £300,000 at stake. Don't let it pass you by. Text YES to 61025. If you do it right now, you get 5 entries for the price of 1 text entry, and those texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. Over 18s only, which means Marvin said qualified for this 40 odd years ago. So all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so you are running out of time. You've got two deadlines to remember this week. Deadline, transfer deadline, and this 5 p.m. on Friday. But do it well before then. Answer your phone within 5 rings if the call comes. Tell us this week's cash register amount, £300,000, and it would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. What about him going for his wee snack during the break?
It's your fault.
I look after you well today.
I never eat croissants. And I came in here today and you.
So they have to be worth a mention. I hope I've pronounced it right. I've probably got the pronunciation wrong. Valaria, Byers Road. I was in there today having a nice coffee, you know, unwinding, trying to get ready to deal with you two. And the guy said, give this croissant to Sid specifically.
Yeah. And you mentioned it in the text before I got here.
I knew this.
I was wondering where you got them, but
I knew this.
That's the best croissant.
Wouldn't eat it. So now
you have a couple.
And there was a few. So now I'm thinking,
not
right,
good for the baseline.
You've enjoyed. If I know DL and Wilson,
that's where they went for one, definitely.
Like I do, I'm wondering,
he'll be waiting out there.
Will it survive? Will I leave them till tomorrow? Yes. They two pick up the, because there's a few in that bag.
They go a bit harder, don't they?
Yeah, they two are not fussy.
Yeah.
This is a guy that stirs his pen
with
a limpet.
Yeah, that's true, actually. What am I talking
about? Stirs his limpet with a pen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew what you meant.
Have you seen that video?
That's disgusting.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Honestly, the pens, look what I'm doing now. Just about, they fall on the floor.
I don't even mean that.
Everything.
Burning his colleague.
I know.
If you've not seen
maybe
it,
his pal,
check your social media channels out for.
But the big athlete didn't go for.
He never does.
No. Back.
Have you eaten the whole thing?
No, I was still a little bit. I'll have that in the car on the way home.
Just get another one, mate.
Crumbs everywhere.
Nah, this guy, he's in good shape at the moment. What's he training for?
I see him on his Instagram.
I know.
Blazers. What's he training for?
I know.
His boots are hung up.
Yeah, I'm done.
Is there another Masters coming up?
No, we got kicked out. That's outrageous, by the way. I hope they're listening to this. I'm so disappointed.
Seriously, Hibs have not been asked back this year.
And we got to the final. That's unbelievable.
The insurance wouldn't cover you damaging everybody again like last time.
Well, hopefully the carpet stays on this time.
I hope so.
He's salty. Anyway, George is a Celtic fan in Tollcross. Take it away, George.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. You?
Thanks very much. Thanks, very well. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
No, it was just really to disagree with the last caller, really, about the transfer. I think the chap said that he was quite happy with the business at Celtic have done this transfer window. And I'm a wee bit dubious about that myself, because the way I look at it is that I don't really think that we've strengthened. Obviously, with Matt O'Reilly leaving, that's a big gaping hole there. And I think we've brought in, yes, we've brought in players. I was quite happy with Schmeichel coming in. But the way I see it, he's a direct replacement for Joe Hart. So that's us back to where we were. We're not better than we were last season for that, is the way I see it. Likewise, with Adam Eder, we've got him signed up. But again, we had him last year. So we're not better than we were last year. And I just worry that the limit of the board's ambition is to... I mean, I know we brought in the new lad, the news that's just broke today. I don't know anything about him, I'm afraid. But I'm a wee bit worried that the limit of the board's ambition is to just kind of beat Rangers and win everything in Scotland. And I think, I worry that, for me as a Celtic fan, my worry is that they're looking across the city and they're thinking, right, Rangers, I think it'd be fair to say, are on a bit of a low at the moment, relatively. And I think they're saying, well, we just need to beat them. Whereas I think we should be aiming higher than that. You know, I think the Celtic fans want to be making inroads into Europe. We're not saying we're going to, you know, win the competition or anything like that, but I think we want a run. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not seeing that, you know, we're getting... I don't think we're a better squad than the last year. And I think you write Rangers off at your peril. Because I know they're in a low at the moment, but I think, you know, if there's one thing I've learned through watching Scottish football for 30 years, it's when they can turn quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if it cheers George up, this notion of just wanting domestic success, that's clearly not what Brendan Rodgers thinks, not only privately but now publicly. He's made a very deliberate point of pointing that out in the last few days. So we need to wait and see between now and Friday. If it was to be Arnie Ingles for a club record transfer fee, there's no point in any of us pretending to know whether we can guarantee he'll be good. That's not how transfers work. But would that be a sign, a signal of intent, a club record transfer fee for a young player?
Yeah, 100% it would be a signal of intent. And I understand what George is saying, because as we sit here now on Wednesday evening, Celtic are behind where they were last season, because O'Reilly, that massive gap of him. But don't forget, they only paid, was it 1.5 million for him? They're now looking to bring in somebody 20 years of age for £10 million. So listen, if they can get that over the line, it would be a real signal of intent, not just domestically, because I do believe that if Celtic... You know, the window closed today with their squad, they would still win the league. But like you said, they want to make inroads into European football. You know, they want to pick up points and do better and be more competitive. And that's what Brendan wants. That's what the board want. But for that to happen, it has to be patience. You know, if it was just about just winning domestically, then you could go and sign players and, you know, you could rush into these things. But Celtic have to, and the fans have to be patient. They have to believe in what the board are doing. Don't get me wrong, if it gets to Saturday and they've not made the sign-ins, by all means, you know, question the board, question their ambitions. But at this moment in time, they've not done anything wrong for me.
At this time of year, you read into everything, Simon, and you look at what are the other parties saying. So Arnie Ingles' current manager spoke today and he said, I think he will be in our squad for the next game. I heard the rumours.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen in the next couple of days. That on the face of it doesn't sound great, but Brendan Rodge, there was nothing really about Matt O'Reilly, and then he went very quickly. So the same could happen.
Yeah, I don't know the exact timeline. I seen that, what you're talking about, and that was my thought at the time. It didn't sound too encouraging.
Because on Friday, Brendan Rodgers didn't say that Matt O'Reilly was leaving sort of thing, and it happened the next...
True.
Was it two days later?
Yeah, you make a good point. I think even suggested he might be in the squad for the game against St Mirren. So that, you make a good point there. But I think the encouraging thing for me, and as I say, I'm not too sure about the timeline, but did they not raise that bid to 10 million since that? We read that comment.
Yeah, good point. That probably was after.
Don't know about the timeline.
Also, as a manager, you don't want to lose your best players. Of course, you're going to say, you know, hopefully he's in the squad next, but the board can do something totally different.
I'll see him later.
Yeah, exactly. He's off. He's gone. So, and also, listen, you want to come out in the face of it, and you want to put these things out so it looks like a position of strength, rather than saying, listen, if they hit £10 million, we'll sell him. Maybe they can get a couple million pounds more. Will be their thinking, but. Listen, the player clearly wants to come. You don't bid for players that don't want to come to your football club. Yeah. You know, the manager's been clever in what he said, 100%, but I do expect, you know, Celtic to sign him.
Would that please you to a point, George? Like I said, you don't know how good he's going to turn out to be, but if Celtic pay that type of fee and show that type of intent, would that please you?
Absolutely. I mean, we know there's no guarantees. You could pay a lot of money for somebody and they turn out to be a dud, but at least, you know, you can't fault the club for the ambition and for going for it. And I know, we're not going to go out and spend stupid money. There is a limit, but I think the fans would at least understand that an effort was made in that situation. I just worry that it's a psychological thing that, they're looking across the city and just thinking, oh, well, we don't really need to spend. You know, they might have more in the bank. And, you know, we keep hearing how much money Celtic have got and they've done good business lately. There was a Champions League bonus. There's the money for Matt O'Reilly, the money for Jota. So this, but the fans are getting frustrated because they feel that money's sitting there. And they're not seeing it getting spent. I mean, I know there's been a bit of business today and there's you know, the transfer window isn't closed yet, but I worry that some at some level it's been thought that, well, you know, we could afford to spend more money here, but we'll not spend it because we don't have to, because, right, you know, Rangers are kind of, you know, in a bit of the doldrums just now. And I think that would really frustrate me, you know, if that was the case, because I always had my suspicions that when Brendan Rodgers left, I was a fan of Brendan Rodgers, I still am a fan of Brendan Rodgers, I think he's a top-class manager, but I always had my suspicions when he left the first time. Maybe it was because the purse strings were getting tightened on him.
George, you know? You're about to break the record, though, for bringing a player in.
To be fair, George is saying that if that happens. Yeah. Apologies, George, we'll leave it there. We were doing well. That was a nice little debate we had going, but we'll need to move on because these two have got business. But enjoyed that, George. Hopefully we'll speak again soon. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. What are you laughing at?
Donut Donnelly, man.
He's still talking about it. It was a fortnight ago. Hey, fortnight in football.
So
it's a long time, you're right.
So you didn't hear last night?
Oh, tell me.
Donut DL.
Seriously?
No way.
Joined you. Joined you.
Video. That's not good company.
Video now available on our social media channels.
What was it? What now?
Three or four, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So he's joined me.
So we had an Oasis theme. In fact, do you know what? I'll tell you about, I can see that clock.
You had an
ticking.
Oasis theme.
Exactly.
Beat the Pundit.
And you weren't here.
For goodness.
I'll tell you about it next. And we'll play Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 0141 951 1025. Transfer business really dominating things. Alex Vaye is a Celtic player. Is Arnie Engels going to join him? Is it going to be a good end to the window? Rangers fans were looking at, will Todd Cantwell leave? There's Blackburn interest. Will Scott Wright's move to Birmingham get confirmed? Who will you get in? There's a game on Sunday between the sides, in case you hadn't heard, and lots going on. Big qualification matches for Hearts, who are potentially without Lawrence Shankland, and Kilmarnock tomorrow. So give us a call on any of that, or if it's something else, we'd love to hear from you either way. But let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. The great thing about this, and it's the analogy that I always use, this tonight for you is like you're in a karaoke bar and you follow the guy or the girl that absolutely murders a song. And you can't be any worse.
Oh,
Gordon Vale last night got a zero. It was a bad zero.
I've just seen his answers.
And make sure you check out the video on our social media pages, because there were a few. I said to you before, it was Oasis.
Yes, so I picked up when the brothers won.
Just sort of loosely, like one of the questions was about Declan Gallagher. Mm-hmm. See what we did there.
Oh, right.
The first one, and that's where he went wrong. The first question, who won the SPL the year that Oasis split in 2009? Now, he got totally baffled by the Oasis bit and said, pass. Now, there's only going to be one of two answers there as to who won the SPL title. There is no need to pass.
Yes.
It's either Celtic or it's Rangers, which was the right answer. So he was gone at that point, and his attempt at saying
the brothers,
Chris Cadden, was spectacular. Yeah. I actually sent it to Chris Cadden himself,
the McFadden brothers,
and he was quite amused by it, and he said he'd actually been listening last night but had missed that bit. So he's causing chaos. Anyway, easy for you two, pressure's off. You got a zero recently, don't do it again.
Yeah, it's okay.
That was the last time he played. I'll recently was the last
you got
time he
one
played.
Last season. One of you is taking on Anne-Marie from Airdrie. How's it going, Anne-Marie?
It's good. I'm good, thanks.
Are you an Airdrie fan?
I'm really nervous, aye.
Oh, don't worry about that. You're an Airdrie fan?
I'm an Airdrie fan.
Couple of tough results recently?
Yep.
I know. Everyone had high hopes, I think, for Airdrie this season.
Yeah, my family were at the game.
Ever since I tipped Airdrie for the league.
Did you tip them for the league? It's your fault.
Anything you touch is.
Sorry, Anne-Marie.
It's a long old season. Sorry, Anne-Marie. They'll be fine. They'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
They'll make the playoffs.
Right, anyway, heads it is going to be Marvin Bartley, and tails it's Donut Donnelly, as they're calling him. It is as well.
Uh-huh.
You still getting abuse for that?
Yeah, no, dried again. Up a bit. Yeah, it's not dried up completely.
It's tails. It is Simon Donnelly against Anne Marie. So what we do here, Anne Marie, is give him something else to listen to, and we turn
good
it up
luck,
loud
Anne Marie,
so that he can't hear us. Anne Marie, it's pretty straightforward. You've got 30 seconds to answer as many as you can, and the best bit about it really is you can pass and move on. You don't need to worry too much if you don't know the answer. Okay.
Uh huh.
Right, let's do it. Your 30 seconds is on the clock, and your time starts now. Name either of the two teams that Scotland play in their next two Nations League games.
Poland.
Which team is top of the Scottish Championship?
Ayr.
Who was the first managerial casualty of the season in the SPFL?
Pass.
Ryan Gold plays for which club team?
Poland.
Pass.
Apart from Celtic, which other Premiership team have a 100% win rate this season?
Aberdeen.
Who did Kilmarnock knock out in the last qualifying round of the Conference League? Who did Kilmarnock knock out in the last qualifying round for the Conference League?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Simon Donnelly, can you hear us?
I can indeed.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, as you well know. Don't get a zero. Your time starts now. Name either of the two teams that Scotland play in their next two Nations League games.
Portugal.
Which team is top of the Scottish Championship?
Ayr.
Who was the first managerial casualty of the season in the SPFL?
Jim McIntyre.
Ryan Gold plays for which club team?
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Apart from Celtic, which other Premiership team have a 100% win rate?
Aberdeen.
Who did Kelly knock out in the last qualifying round for the Conference League?
Pass.
Which current Scotland? Oh, that's an easy one. Come on. Which Scotland international has played for St Mirren, Hibs and Aston Villa?
John McGinn.
Oh, too easy. I'm not even giving you that. That's nonsense.
Yeah, I didn't give him that.
Anne-Marie, how did it feel?
Well, I tried.
Is it more, everyone says this and I'll never know, is it always more nerve-wracking, I take it, when you're on?
Honest to God, my hands are shaking. I'm a nervous wreck.
I think you did all right. Who's helping you out?
The grandmains and my son-in-law.
Brilliant. What are their names? Do you want to give them a wee mention?
I've got 8 grandmates.
Oh, jeez, don't run through them all.
They're all there, helping.
Do the podcast.
Aye, Blake Layton, Brody, Luke. Aye. They all play for the wee local community centre.
Brilliant.
Team.
Ah, good. There was an 11-a-side team taking you on there.
Yep.
Brilliant. Good. Right, well, let's go through them. You got off to a good start, which helps Anne-Marie. You had the choice of Poland or Portugal for the next two Nations League games. I think Anne-Marie went Poland and you went Portugal. So yep, spread fairly well. I knew Anne-Marie would get this. Airdrie fan, Ayr, top of the Championship. So yep, we're doing not too badly. This is where Simon starts to stick a few tackles in. The first managerial casualty was Jim McIntyre or both. I'm impressed with you there.
We spoke about it last week.
Did we? Jim McIntyre or both first managerial casualty in the SPFL.
Why wasn't it the Ian Murray?
Good question.
He didn't get that right, I'm sorry.
You're right, he didn't. It's Ian Murray, isn't it?
Anne Marie, I've got your back.
See,
don't worry.
What I need you to do, because you're the biggest, scariest of the pundits.
He started laughing again at that.
That's why I was laughing, didn't he?
Go in that office, find whoever wrote the question, drag them in here, and we'll put them in front of the camera.
Who did Anne Marie say?
Pass, I think, so that doesn't affect it, I'm afraid. Well done.
What's the score?
2-2, mate.
Oh, Anne Marie.
Ryan Gold plays for Vancouver Whitecaps. Simon got it, I'm afraid Anne-Marie didn't. So you're ahead anyway. You both knew Aberdeen are the other team with a 100%. So that's an Anne-Marie, that's your hands might be shaking. You were fine. Three is decent.
4-3.
But this guy was obviously, he's been studying all week because he got embarrassed last time. So he's done pretty well. You didn't know that Kilmarnock knocked out?
No.
Come on, smart Alec. Marvin.
I have no idea.
Tromso.
So it was.
Tromso.
Yes.
And too easy that last one. Anne-Marie would have got this if she'd got through him. It is John McGinn. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're taking one off you. Yeah, it's your 5. A 5-3 win for Simon Donnelly. Anne-Marie, it was a pleasure. Hard lines.
Thank you so much.
Good,
so
well much. Done. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
There we go.
I wonder if I've got all those texts tonight. Nah, off 2 weeks ago. Probably not.
You only just won. And it's
a win's
Gordon,
a win, mate.
Try to give you another one.
That's
me back up to 50% for the season.
Try to take them off him. Slapping the rest of Jim McIntyre.
By the way, I was all chuffed with Jim McIntyre because we spoke about it in the way. He's laughing again.
I was raging that he
won. Are they the only two?
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any to follow soon? I won't make you choose.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. Really soon.
couple next 2 weeks.
Next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks. Top flight.
You say you're not going to make me choose. I just think the next 2 weeks that could be sticky.
Wow.
Sticky paths out there.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see. 0141 951 1025.
Good. You were googling it then. You started typing.
Looking at the
lead.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at the lead.
Who is going to get sacked?
How would I Google
he's
that?
Hold on. Even more.
So you think you think
you'll reveal who you think it is?
I just
the end of the
typed in who does Marvin Bartley think is going to be. You should know this by now. I am not good at much, clearly. But what this job teaches you to do is my multitasking is
it's up there.
Top draw. I'm communicating with people. I'm looking up things that you two have said and done.
It balances
I'm
out.
I'm having a wee look at what callers are coming on.
So you're really good at multitasking. Then I'm like not so good. And then we've got
I'm terrible at multitasking.
Is that
we found out that night 2 weeks ago.
Do you know what really really bugged me this week? Like proper bugged me. Got under my skin more than it should have. Obviously, since this guy had a bit more free time in his hands than he did last season, shall we say? You notice that he's everywhere. Right? He's popping up everywhere.
I have noticed that. And he's more active in social media as well.
Exactly.
He'd hinted that he'd taken a step back he's back to the fore.
I feel like he's still ours, right? And then, you know, he can dabble. That's fine. We all do it. I do it. It's fine. But I feel like, you know, this is his bread and butter, which is okay. I'm fine with that. What does annoy me is I tuned into another podcast that he was on. By the way, two in one day.
Yeah.
Which I thought, wow, that's a lot. But I listened to him on Open Goal the other day, and they had a big discussion about late coming and how, and everybody was going, I can't stand it when people are late and all this sort of stuff. And he just sat quiet for the full... Which is, and by the way, see for the rest of it, obviously he was running his mouth about everything, but he did not break breath on the subject of late coming. Just sat
That's
there.
Improved.
Honestly.
It's improved. Honestly, it's...
Well, you set the bar so low, wouldn't you? Pretty hard to not improve. Anyway, you shameful. I was just waiting on him going, right, what's he going to say here? And he did not mention anything. David's in Wishaw. How's it going, David?
I'm all right. How are you doing, Trips?
All good. All good. David, what's on your mind tonight? What's happening?
Well, it's just obviously we're coming to the end of the transfer window again, and I've been tuned in. I tune in every week. Great show, great pundits, and all the rest of it. My only point is it seems to be the overzealous Celtic fans thinking the likes of unnamed players like this Vela or however you pronounce it are world beaters. They talk about all these signings that Brendan's made. It was only a few years ago they were chasing him out with the Sharks and all the rest of it. And then all of a sudden, he's a messiah of Celtic Park.
I mean, the whole Shark Gate, just for accuracy, the Shark Gate thing that you're referring to, that's after Brendan Rodgers leaves.
All right, well, all right, let's not split hairs. But then, obviously...
Quite an important detail, though, to be fair.
With regards to the... They seem to come on and talk about Celtic, then all of a sudden they revert back to Rangers with regards to Rangers' transfer business. So surely a club the size of Celtic and the way their fan base is and how hysterical they are with regards to the club, why do they constantly have to have a dig at Rangers? Why can't they just sing with their own club?
I mean, I guess that whole talking about the other team more than your own is quite a feature of the rivalry in this city.
In fairness,
I've not. Maybe they will. We've certainly not had anyone say Alex Valle is a world beater. I've not seen that. To be fair, David might know of people who do think that. They haven't come across my radar yet. A difficult point to answer, David. I guess people are within reason, kind of phone up about what they want, because then in a roundabout way you've now phoned up about Celtic fans, so it kind of, you know, it's, I don't know, people can, they can kind of do what they like. What are you thinking of your own team's transfer then, if you want to stick to your own, what are you thinking?
Well to me it's a catch-22, to be fair. I think a lot of business should have been done early to get players in, to get them settled in, but again you don't know what's got to happen at the tail end of the window. Who's going, who's coming, the likes of Hadji, the likes of Cantwell and people like that. But as I say, it all reverts back to the fact that my only concern is Glasgow Rangers, and I couldn't really care less about Celtic. That's the way I am. But listening to your show constantly, you've got super hyper Celtic fans going on about Brendan Rodgers, that's Celtic, but then they can't help themselves having a sly dig at Rangers. It just obviously shouts obsession with regards to. But to be fair, there isn't a word that could describe how Celtic fans are with regards to Rangers.
I have to say, the longer the call goes on, I'm getting nervous about what that word is going to be that David comes up with. But I think we've done all right to get that far. I think David was wanting that off his chest, which is fine. And I don't really know how to answer it. People will phone up about whatever. And
Do you know what I was hearing there? The windscreen wipers.
That's exactly what that was. I was wondering.
It's just told me that it's raining outside. That was the exact same. I could hear his windscreen wipers.
Got my shorts on, man.
Walking over to. You hate the rain as well. Oh, I mean, we all do, but you were built for the indoors. Yeah. You're not
definitely
cut out for
the heat.
Right, we'll try and bring it back to. I think Yanis Hadji's name was mentioned by David, and he's right in that sense about, you know, how do you. You know, trying to get players out and trying to bring players in, and that kind of balancing act that specifically Rangers are really having to do at the moment, because it's just not a secret. Everybody knows that that's the way it has to work, and Philippe Clement's mentioned it. A feature of the modern transfer window is that you find out things on players' Instagram stories or Twitter or whatever it is. What did you make of that one last night? Have you seen it? For anyone who hasn't... In fact, you don't need to read into it. He's put it in kind of black and white. Yanis Hadji took to Instagram, as the phrase goes. I've been aware of the noise and speculation regarding my situation, my role and my contract. I've loved playing for Rangers and the fans. I want to make it clear. I've never once asked to leave this club. I'll always make myself available. And there's always a way to navigate around any situation if there's a will on both sides. That was communicated officially weeks ago by me and my team. I'm here, willing, and Rangers ready to help work and fight for the club, team and manager. What did you make of that?
I don't agree with it, if I'm honest, but I do understand it. You know, from a player's point of view, if he's sitting there and he's seeing speculation and, you know, maybe on different shows and people are speaking about, you know, where he finds himself and, you know, just saying things that aren't true. He wants to get the truth out there, and he's done that, and he said what he needed to say. We know the situation that he's in terms of, you know, if he does play another game, then, you know, it's a substantial amount of money and his wages do go up, which the club aren't willing to do. So I get it. As he said, he's never asked to leave the football club. You know, his attitude's been brilliant, by the way, because he's been playing in the B team. So fair play to him. You know, I think if they can come to some sort of agreement to keep him at the football club in terms of just ability, then they will. But I think it's a difficult one.
I sympathise to a point, because I think certainly Philippe Clement and clubs, they're not really going to come out and publicly talk about details of player contracts deals.
Yeah.
If it is that, as the rumour goes, then it sounds like, well, Yanis Hadji's saying he's willing to, you know, you've heard the rumour that if he plays again, he gets a bumper pay rise.
Yeah, of course.
And Yanis Hadji's saying, I believe everything can be sort of worked around. If, as an example, it is that his previous club are owed more money, though, that sounds more difficult, because they're not going to...
Yeah, of course, why should
say,
they?
No, it's fine, you keep it. And then also, Philippe Clement, because he's not going into the detail of the contract, his line on it is always, you know, he's been told he's not part of the plans.
Yeah.
For all we know, maybe, and fans might not agree, but for all we know, even if Yanis Hadji doesn't get a pay rise, maybe Philippe Clement still doesn't want him in his team.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, and that could be the situation.
I think it leans more towards the contract and the financial thing there.
Yeah, and if you really want to stay, just take it out, no?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like Marv's reports for me...
But that's what I mean, maybe... And I'm throwing random numbers there. Yeah. Like, say he's on 20, and it goes to 30. I'm completely making this up. Say he's on 20 and it goes to 30 if he stays. Yanis Hadji's saying... Hypothetically, I'm willing to stay on 20, but Philippe Clement and Rangers are saying it's okay. We still don't want that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. He might still be on a decent wage as it is.
Mm. Yeah, but listen, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I think the lad himself. I agree with Marv. I mean, I'm old school, taking to social media to get your message over. He obviously feels as if he's been treated unfairly, or something's come out. You know what, Marvin touched on his attitude there. By all accounts, he's been performing really well with the B team, so he hasn't taken any sort of huff. He's made himself available. I think it comes back towards that the thing in his contract, And I think that it puts the boy in a position, it puts him in a difficult position, because I'd imagine he'll just want to be playing football. And we watched him in the Euros. I thought he was decent in the Euros. I look at the Rangers team just now, he probably would be around about that team with the squad they've got. But, you know, he's been a rock in a hard place at the moment.
Okay, 141-951-1025. It's one of those perfect opportunities to call, because if you do now, there's a good chance we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141-951-1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Okay, it's that time of the night for Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley, where they team up, they pretend they like each other, and they try and come up with the answers to a question that you send in, the appropriately named full-time teaser. Are we interrupting you? Do you want to put your phone away?
Can I have my pen back, please?
Is he texting somebody to ask for a new pen?
No, that's what I was actually doing.
Look at this guy. I'm even trying to be subtle about it. He's on in front of his face.
On the camera as well.
You two don't actually know what I was doing. That's something very important.
I'm sure.
No,
right.
I wasn't my deliverer.
Seriously?
It misses away.
You're joking me. You just ordered your dinner.
What'd you go for?
Whilst I was speaking.
Nando's.
Nando's,
yeah. 9 o'clock delivery.
Seriously?
Yeah, come on.
You get you, man. That is out of order. You could surely have waited.
No, I couldn't.
So what's the delivery time?
9 o'clock.
Right, so you couldn't have done it at 8 and it
no,
would have been there at 9.
It gets really busy.
It gets busy,
does
it?
Yeah.
So and there are that many lazy people on a Wednesday.
It was
night.
9, oh, the next one, 9:45. I was like, no, I've got to do
I'm
this.
I'm glad
now.
You got in there.
Goodness sake.
What's your order?
I got a.
Bet you get
Fino Pitta.
You get the mildest spice as
no,
well.
No, medium. Fino Pitta.
Do you
add
not
pineapple.
Cook, do you not cook?
Yeah, but by the time I get home from here, I'll be.
Can't be bothered.
Yeah, too late. Double chips.
Obviously.
I've got a new Peronet sauce coming as well.
He's got some cheek knocking back that glass on earlier.
Yeah, athlete's going for double chips.
Yeah,
you've worked hard today.
Yeah, exactly. It's my treat.
Right, okay. The question tonight for you is, and by the way, Graham has sent the question in, so top marks to Graham. Thanks for doing it. If you want to join in, you need to email fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Topical. We've probably done variations of this before, but let's do it. Can you name the last 10 players who've scored an Old Firm goal at Ibrox, Celtic Park and Hampden? What a tour of Glasgow that is. The last 10 to have scored in this fixture at Ibrox, Celtic Park and Hampden. That is some going.
That is some going.
Kyogo.
Yes.
Well done. McGregor.
Yes.
Tavernier.
Oh, hold on, Alan or Callum?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well done.
Tavernier?
No. Oh. What one's he missing, I wonder? Hampden?
Edward.
No.
Dembele.
Actually, yes. Okay, we'll leave it there because I think that's a pretty good start. Can you name the last 10 players to score an Old Firm goal at Ibrox, Celtic Park, Hampden? You've got Kyogo. You've got Dembele.
How far do we go back?
McGregor. I'm not telling you. That's part of the.
All right, okay.
That's part of the challenge for now. I mean, I could.
Yeah, okay. Leave it there.
Yeah, okay. Whilst you get your calls in, I'd like to hear from all of you, really, whoever you support, but particularly Hearts fans, Kelly fans. I mean, Kelly fans, can you do it tomorrow? Because I would. You don't want to exaggerate these things, but genuinely, 2-0 down Copenhagen, if it was to be done, that's one of the Scottish football results in Europe. So that's.
They were in the Champions League last year.
He got out of the group stages as well. Can it be done, Kelly fans? What do you think? How confident? And Hearts fans, no Lawrence Shankland potentially. It's not been a vintage start to the season as it is. And the thought of that, is it as scary as it looks to me? Or do you have another plan? Not ideal from the outset, you would have to say, Marvin.
No, it's not ideal for them at all. Obviously, we saw the amount of goals it scored for them last season. In terms of Hearts' form this season, it's been inconsistent to say the least. But, you know, I really do give them a chance. You know, I did think it was going to be a difficult game going into the first leg, but having watched it, I wasn't too impressed. If I'm honest, you know, Hearts obviously conceded really, really late on. But I think at Tynecastle with the home fans, I think they can do it even without Shankland. I imagine Vargas will play, you know, as a top one and maybe Alan Forrest off him. So, yeah, listen, I think they can do it. I think they'll go into this game confident. Obviously, they'd have preferred Shankland 100%, but I still think the players and the club will believe they can do this.
Yeah, I think so as well. I watched that game and, like Marvin, I wasn't too impressed with them. last seconds. An OG gives them a narrow lead going into this game. Vargas has got a bit of pace there. I think if they can get the crowd behind them, you know, I think they've got a chance. I really do. I think obviously your top goal scorer being out isn't ideal, but I think they've got a chance. I wouldn't be surprised if they turned that over.
They just don't care because he's so good, or has been so good, and actually so quite reliable the number of games he's played. Obviously they don't carry loads in reserve in that department. They've actually got quite a deep squad, and as some people say, it's been their undoing in recent weeks. You know, is it Spittle, is it Danda, is it Boateng, is it Cammy Devlin? You know, there are elements there that have depth. Liam Boyce has not been that fit for a long time. And Vargas maybe more of a wide player, but can play through the middle. Obviously, is that where it's potentially an issue as well?
I think, you know, a lot of Hearts fans are talking about them bringing the striker anyway, and that's with Shanklin being fit. So it's probably the worst position and the worst player that they could have possibly lost going into this game. I agree, Vargas for me is more of a wide player, but he is effective through the middle, as you saw, you know, against Rangers. And yeah, I just think Boyce has just missed so much football, and over the last season and a half, that it would be very difficult to throw him in into a game of this magnitude. So listen, if he needs to give him 20 minutes, then he can. But it's a poor one for Hearts to lose, unfortunately.
Okay, let's bring in Brian, who's on the line. How's it going, Brian?
Okay, bad guys, how are you?
Yeah, all good in here, good, I think. Mate. What have you got for us?
I just wanted to talk about, obviously, tomorrow. A lot of people are kind of missing the fact there's a massive Champions League tomorrow.
Good point.
I just think it's mega exciting. Obviously, the format's changed, and I'm looking forward to seeing the kind of teams that Celtic can get this time around. And a lot of them, there's more games this time. Me personally, I'd like to see Celtic get Real Madrid again and kind of test us to see how much we came on when we played them a couple of years ago under Ange. Then until now, we'd see the kind of progress we've made, if any, under Brendan.
It's very different, of course, worth bearing in mind. I won't explain it all, I'll make a bad job of it, but just in case anyone's not realised, remember, it's not the same format as before, far from it. So all of the teams are in one 36-team league phase, but teams will be drawn out, you know, to play four games at home and four away. So no actual groups as such, but you play four at home, four away. So teams are going to be in four pots, according to their seeding. Each team faced two teams from each pot, one at home, one away. It does sound confusing. I think when we see it for the first time, it probably does mean more matches between the biggest teams, which is kind of why they've done it, you would imagine. Teams can't be drawn against teams from their own country and stuff like that, which doesn't really affect us. And means you can only play two clubs from any one country as well. So that's don't want to get too into the detail right now, but that's the gist of it. Brian says, to make it back a bit, Brian's point, he wants another look at Real Madrid. To be fair, I'm not sure Brian's saying, bring them on, we'll beat them.
I know what Brian's saying. They've just...
I watched them from afar.
They've just signed Mbappe. It's a fair front line they've got.
Listen,
there.
If you're going to pay your champion, if you're going to go down, you want to go down watching the best.
When they signed, pulled Real Madrid out the hat a couple of years ago, I was excited with that as well, because it was one of the teams that
hadn't played
in recent times. I think the Champions League was crying out for a new format. I think people had get fed up with the groups of four. You knew more or less who was going to win the group. This brings something different. I hope it's a success. There's more variety there. Celtic are going to play, is it eight different teams? Four at home, four away. I think it brings something new to it. And as Brian said there, it's exciting. There will be a variety. Don't ask me what happens. Is it the top 16?
So it's the top eight qualify straight away. And then the other 9th to 24th enter a playoff round for the final eight knockout places. Right. Bottom 12 then, straight out.
Straight out.
Right. So in that
36. Listen, I think it needed a change. At that stage of the tournament, I think it needed a change. And hopefully this is for the better. As I say, eight teams that Celtic will be looking forward to pitting their wits against. And yeah, who am I to disagree with Brian? Bring Real Madrid on.
Anyone else, Brian? How does your wish list look?
I like Italian football personally, so maybe a couple of Italian teams, maybe an AC Milan or an Inter Milan, that would be kind of good. But for me, like, looking back at kind of Celtic teams in the past, they've maybe done well when they've had kind of one special player in the team and kind of built the team around that guy. Like, we used to obviously have Larson, then the ball obviously the team around him. And then it was the same under Stratton, had Nakamura on the kind of, all the rest of the squad wasn't great. Mark Manassi's and Caldwell's and that, but the bulk of the team were in Nakamura and they go through the last 16 twice. So I think for me, I'd love to see Celtic go and push a boot out, go and sign somebody a wee bit special in the transfer market and then maybe build a team around him and see how far it takes us. But I'm the same with Simon and bring them on, like, you know what I mean? I mean, if we're going to get beat, we're going to get beat, but we'll have a go and see where we're at. Do you know what I mean? See the kind of levels we're at in comparison to a couple of years ago on the ranch.
Yeah, again, Brian says maybe some Italian teams. So I was having a look. I think it's Italy and Germany are actually the two countries with the five teams in it. You know, you would think England and Spain tend to be the so-called bigger two, but Inter, AC, Juve, Atalanta and Bologna, all from Italy.
Yeah.
Leverkusen, Stuttgart, Bayern Munich, Leipzig and Dortmund, all from Germany. I'm not going to run through every team that's in it. The usual big hitters, the ones that are maybe something a bit different.
Who's the teams in Celtic's
if you're into
pot?
That. I don't think I've got the actual got pots right now. But the from Spain, Girona.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something new, England, Aston Villa. That'd be good.
Girona are good, by the way.
Villa Park's great.
Bojan Miłoszki to come back
I've
already.
I've watched them a couple of times. They're decent.
But Villa Park, that'd be class. Great. When, or Villa coming.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play there a couple of times. That's one of my favourite grounds, Villa Park.
Did you win?
We beat them in the cup, yeah, we did. We beat them in the League Cup down there in quarter-final stage.
Not the answer I was hoping for.
I know it wasn't. But that would be something new, wouldn't it? I mean, Aston Villa have...
Definitely, yeah.
It's been so long since they were in the old European Cup. And
John
McGinn
factor. John McGinn factor, about something.
Could have had him for 1.25.
Oh, yes. Hugh Keevans will phone me right now. He's going to phone in. Well, next up, we'll get Hugh and Bears Den on the line. But there is that, of course, and he's captain there. I like the look of that. Because I just do the selfish thing, like, what does it mean for us, for this show?
Yeah,
like,
that'd be class.
I'll tell you what it does mean for anyone who... Because usually, sorry Celtic fans, it ends at Christmas, right? Mm. And then we come back in January and I think, that's more midweeks that we have to think about something else. This runs until the end of January.
Yeah.
So you go, get a nice little... And who knows what happens thereafter. But
does it change the dynamics? You know, being in a group and if the first couple of results don't go for you and it's doom and gloom, does it change it with the eight?
No. You know, it's worth so much money individually, the games, aren't
they? Just go for it in the games, especially the home ones.
Well, there's more games though, so if anything, you can recover, is that what you mean?
I would think so. Exciting.
Try to look at if there's anything else in particular. Obviously Celtic, because they've been in quite a lot in the last decade and a bit, you know, Man City sort of done, Real Madrid, Barca a lot, AC Milan, Bayern Munich, PSG. So there's in terms of the big boys, Liverpool obviously in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they have met. You know that fine well, Simon. Yes. You played them, didn't you?
Yes.
And then even on the...
They're the ones that capture the excitement of the battles of Britain.
Yeah.
But I think the one that you said there, Celtic Villa, rolls off the tongue well. I think that would be a good fixture. Yeah. Stan Petrov would have something to say about it.
That's true. Stan Petrov derby. There we go. Yeah, there's a few in there. Lots to look out for. Thank you to Brian for bringing it up, because I do find that happens at this time of the year. The Champions League draw is like important, obviously, but it's right now for our thought process. It's up against the transfer window and it's up against the game on Sunday.
Aye.
Actually, selfishly again, get a bit frustrated in the build up to the first meeting of these sides, because it's always kind of this weekend, isn't it? So really, Friday night on this show, Saturday in this show, it's really all about transfers.
Yeah.
The sort of detailed nitty gritty who plays, who doesn't, of the build up to the game. I almost have to wait till Sunday morning because there's so much.
It's kind of crept up a wee bit. There's been so much going on in the last week or so. With the transfer window, probably, getting everybody's attention. It will come thick and fast at the weekend. Oh,
definitely.
Always look, just a quick look at Twitter there, thinking, right, okay, what cutting edge insight have the pundits given us that the people are reacting to? And all it is Martin Doak furious at you for adding pineapple to your
Honestly, mangoes. People hate it. The amount of people that say you cannot add pineapple. I have pineapple on pizza as well.
He's strange. That's pathetic, honestly. That is.
But have you tried it?
Listen.
Do you know what?
I've told you, my wife comes from Italian heritage. I'll be kicked out of the house.
You actually would be.
That's like chopping up your spaghetti with a knife and fork.
They're not accepting,
You know, it's quite a common thing to go, they'll like half pizza, half pasta. I'm not allowed that. I get like shouted at.
Just one or the other.
It's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I feel for you because you're missing out.
So Martin's attached a gif basically of like sort of special forces soldiers, like kicking a dog down.
I bet he's never tried it, though. This is the thing. People just need to try it. That's all I ask them to do. Try it and then come back at the show.
You two try having a go at this teaser. Can you name the last 10 players to score an Old Firm goal at Ibrox, Celtic Park and Hampden? You're doing quite well. Remind me of what you've got so far.
Kyogo, McGregor, and was it Edward?
Dembele.
Larsson.
No, not in the last 10. I'm assuming he did it, but not in the last 10.
O'Reilly?
No.
Rogic?
Yes.
Good shout. Oh, four.
Yeah.
Need 10.
Let's try and go halfway before the break. Come on, one more.
Hey.
Morelos?
Yes.
Morelos?
I'll carry you, sorry.
He got a lot of stick for not scoring in the fixture, but he managed all three. We will get the rest of the answers and more of your calls, please. We'll do it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
There is still time to call in if you want. We're on the final stretch of tonight's show with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly, and thanks to Graham, who emailed in a full time teaser, fulltime@clyde1.com. Please do get your questions into us and we'll try and use them on the show. Can you name the last 10 players to score an Old Firm goal at Ibrox and Celtic Park and Hampden? It's a great boost to the CV, so you've got, hold on, Kyogo, Morelos, Rogic, Dembele, McGregor. That's what you got before the break, wasn't it? Five.
Kent?
Mm-hmm. No.
Abada?
No, would you believe?
Jota?
Nah, these are all good shouts, you would think, but no.
Wow.
So what one did Jota miss out? Maybe Ibrox?
Ibrox, definitely, I think.
Did the other two.
And I don't think Abada scored at Ibrox either.
Header at Hampden.
Or Hampden. He just scored at Celtic Park, Abada.
Was it?
He scored a few, right enough.
Okay. Maeda? Did we say him already?
I don't think
Don't waste my time.
Oh, wow.
We're struggling.
We are. Your knowledge is like... You might need a new partner.
I just put all my effort in to beat the pundit.
Full one.
Let's go back a bit then.
Kenny
Miller? Yes.
There you go.
Wow.
Helps when you've played for both. Do you know what I mean?
It does. Mm. It does.
Honestly. Do you know the worst about that guy, I thought he was a friend of the show, disappears. You don't hear much from him until... I was working at the weekend at St Mirren. The weather was like indescribably bad. And obviously he's on TV there. And the rain was like whacking me in the back of the head. My socks were wet because it was like blown sideways in the studio that we had in the corner.
Studio with no
And we were sitting on one of those, like the boy band stools.
Oh, wow.
So my socks were, it was awful. And don't get me wrong, I know it's not exactly been down the pits, right? So I acknowledge that it's not a real job, but still. And he sends one from Abu Dhabi, you know, the paint
is
on the screen and disgusting.
What a tremendous life.
He's on there, so you've only got four to get. I think we can get them before the end of the show. We've done a lot on players coming in the way tonight, Simon. One of the other callers, to be fair to him, was taking a lot of heart from players going out, and Celtic have done it to a point.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, would you expect, you know, Mikey Johnson? I've got an article popped up here in the Sun. Now apparently three clubs have agreed, you know, that
Sheffield United won.
But apparently Burnley and West Brom are offering like similar money, according to...
Well, he done well at West Brom last year. He went there and showed a bit of form, scored some decent goals. It looked as if that was kind of revitalised him, but it never came to a permanent thing for him. He's come back to Celtic. Is he going to get a lot of game time? Probably not. So I think that move worked for him the last time. So I think it probably is time for him to go and make something permanent. And you know, get his career off in a different angle. As I say, that championship seemed to work for him last year when he went down to West Brom. So they three teams you would expect to be all, you know, going for promotion as well. So yeah, I think that might be a move.
Again, look, we're going back to this stuff. It's not all about money. You need to make sure the players are there. Yeah. But still, if we're talking business, is that again where Celtic are still doing things right? If you can get a couple of million quid for guys that aren't in your plans. And you're doing it with like a number of them. Mikey Johnson would be the latest one.
Well, I think his time at West Brom's probably helped him as well,
definitely.
Because it's been brought to attention. But Burnley are one of the teams that will be up there. West Brom.
You could actually argue, based on what he did in the second half of the season in the Championship, players down there tend to go for more than that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the thing.
Maybe there is an acknowledgement that he's not in a Celtic's plans. But you know, a lot's been made because the money was clearly Matt O'Reilly, and everyone knows that story. What about that last night? Was it 6 minutes?
Oh, the tackle. 6 minutes. Was terrible.
I didn't see the tackle. I heard that was atrocious.
Oh, it's not great. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't even get booked, does he?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Just a foul. It's quite early in the game. The referee just lets him off. Yeah. I'll show you it when we go out there. You can be Matt O'Reilly.
One of your ones.
it was a bad tackle. To be fair, O'Reilly lets it run across his body, like going forward, and he almost like goes to stretch and plays it. And then two seconds later, the boy just comes and cleans him out. But he couldn't even protect himself because he's extended, and he gets obviously helped off the pitch, which nobody wants to see, especially after making such a big move. So
was it more like an impact? Will he recover for that? Or did it look
rough? It looked bad. Because
you think how desperate he would have been to stay on, and I think he was really trying. And of course, sort of hobbled off, didn't he? In terms of other transfers that are doing the rounds, and might interest us, maybe even just from a Scotland perspective, I think Scott McTominay looks. Napoli bound.
Brilliant.
Remake of that.
Brilliant move.
Him and Billy Gilmore, eh? Is it talking to the two of them?
I can't believe how cheap Gilmore's going for, by the way.
Yeah, 10 or something.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. No, I'm saying only 10 million, but that's ridiculous.
You could even argue, right? Not to do this whole Scottish English thing, but 25 for McTominay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of English players moving that don't have the body of work in the Premier League that he does. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea. I'm not saying he's the player to take Man United to the next level. You look at some players down there.
He was a big player for Man United last season, by the way. You know, when they
and
were
over
struggling.
Over the last few years when they've struggled, he's been one of the ones that you can turn to.
100%.
To do a job, pop up with a goal.
Yeah.
But it's a great move for him on a personal level.
You know, it's so good seeing Scottish players as well, isn't it? Going abroad, and obviously, like, Ferguson's out in Italy and you know, other players, etc. But it's brilliant because, going back probably 10 years ago, it'd have been a rarity to see it. So it can only help in terms of football development. You know, well, hopefully they both go
Scott
there.
Scott McKenna and Ollie McBurnie playing in La Liga now for the same team.
So
interesting for the national team and what that means. Hopefully it means Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore can get better. But you know, we wait and see what happens there. I wonder what the other clubs are going to do. Your old team, Marvin Hibbs, they have signed. It's not like they haven't. Can they do something in the next few days that
I think they will.
It helps their bad start to the season.
Yeah, I think they will. I think whether it help or not, I think they will make signings. Difficulty they've got as well. We spoke about it, you know, at Celtic before in terms of just having they've got a lot of players. Hibs have an awful lot of players. And the problem they have with the players that they're trying to get out is that they're not going to earn that money elsewhere. You know, they put them on decent contracts, and rightly so. The players are saying, well, you know, unless this money's matched, I'm not leaving. So that's the difficulty they have at this moment in time. Obviously, they're still trying to bring in Luke McCowan from Dundee.
Think that'll happen?
I think they'll get a bit accepted, whether, you know, someone else comes in last minute and tries to take him, or whether he decides to wait. He's in the last year of his contract, so, you know, by all accounts, he wants to have a crack of it down in England. So, you know, again, if Hibs offer enough money, maybe he will sign there. But I think they'll get a bit accepted this window. Whether he'll go or not, I'm unsure. Probably 50-50 on that.
Would Celtic, you see that sort of mentioned briefly, don't you?
Yeah. He's been linked with Celtic.
So Engels, Bogut, let's say one of them didn't materialise. I've seen some reports from Poland suggesting Boguts might not, but let's say one of them didn't. So you get your big one in Engels. Is that when Luke McCowan becomes that second one?
Yeah, I think
maybe?
He's been linked enough that there must be some sort of interest there. I think he's one that's improved. You know, he's not a young boy anymore, but he's went to Dundee and done really well, and he might be looking for that opportunity. He's a similar kind of mould maybe to Turnbull coming from Motherwell. It's a difficult position to fight yourself into that middle of the park with Celtic, but again, if that was on the table, it's hard to knock back.
He's good enough, isn't he? In terms of his quality, he's good enough probably for his own career. And listen, Celtic come in for you is so
you're
difficult
going to play. No disrespect to you're playing with better players round about you. It brings your game on as well.
It's just how much are you going to play?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. True. How many minutes are you actually going to get on the pitch? But listen, if Celtic come in, I don't imagine that there's many players going to turn them down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, let's finish the teaser while we can. The last 10 players to score an Old Firm goal at Ibrox, Celtic Park and Hampden.
Lee Griffiths.
Hold on. Kyogo, Morelos, Rogic, Dembele, McGregor. And Miller so far.
Griffiths.
You're going to pull your hamstring. Good.
Oh, I was celebrating that one as well.
Glad. Do you know what he's giving it when you're reading the list? Give me that. Yeah, I just wanted
to get it in there because it was on my sheet and I knew you would have read it and claimed it
as
your own.
Let's do it. Let's keep going.
Can we have some help?
Let's go back. The furthest one back You mentioned Larsen. You need to do that era. You've not explored those.
Fucking oh, music. Can we,
roll,
we need
the roll off the tongue. Larsen.
Hartson.
Yes.
Oh,
hold on. Hold on a minute. As he sits there with a John Hartson Foundation jumper on. Look at him.
Wow, this guy. Anything for cash money or anything.
It's my golf top.
Okay.
Sutton.
No, but another two Celtic. So, kind of winger.
Scott Sinclair.
Yep, and another winger, but before that, so Irish international.
McGeady.
Yes.
I'm on fire.
This one, Scotland international, came up here slightly end of career. Played at Hibs. I try to think if he overlapped with you. A small loan spell at Hibs, short loan spell. Played for like Derby down the road.
Commons.
Chris Commons. And is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Well, there.
Hugo, Morelos, Rogic, Sinclair, Dembele, McGregor, Commons, McGeady, Miller, and Hartson.
I'm impressed.
There we go. All right. Thank you very much, Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. Thank you, though, as always, much more than we thank them, quite frankly, for listening and calling and tweeting and staying in touch. Always. Really appreciate it. We are back tomorrow from 6 with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, so make sure you join us then and enjoy the rest of your night.